Warbirds back home tonight in Game 3 of a series taking on the Hill City Howlers. Honored to spend a few minutes with Tom Flanagan, Brewers Senior Vice President of Player Operations and Baseball Administration. Tom, as always, thank you so much for your time.
No problem, Chris. Great to be here.
I'm curious, before we get into the nuts and bolts of player development, what motivated you to pursue a career in baseball and player development as a whole?
It was really something I had always been interested in sports, period, but I never really visualized having a career in it, and It's a longer story than probably you have time for or I have time for. However, I started out in the clubhouse as a bat boy, not thinking it would lead to much, and here we are 36 years later doing a little bit of everything in baseball. So it's just something that once I got around it, it kind of gets in your blood, and you just kind of appreciate the grind of it, and you know, you're willing to learn and do different things, and you know, one job leads to the next, and it's worked out really well for me, and have enjoyed every step of the way.
How has player development or the way you go about evaluating players changed over your 30 plus years in this role?
Tremendously. I mean, it's really been benefited by a great advancement in data. I mean, started probably over a decade ago now, but now it's just there's more and more each year. But I think you still use scouts, no question. They lead you to a lot of players, you know, entry-level players and impact a lot of guys along the way. But in addition to that, you have tools that didn't simply exist when I started and, you know, halfway along the way that it's helpful because you can validate what the scouts think, some of the things, but there's still that irreplaceable feeling that the scouts get of knowing the player, what's inside and all that. You can't really measure it. So it's a good blend right now, but it's really changed the way teams evaluate. Every team does it a little bit differently, but there's probably some core principles they all use, and it's just kind of fascinating to see how it's evolved.
To that end, the Brewers are ranked as one of the best farm systems in all of baseball kind of across the board. A lot of that's the international classes that the Brewers have signed recently. You talk about scouting. How important are those international scouts to get those players?
Unbelievably. I was on the scouting side before, and I always felt like, you know, hey, if you had $10, throw $9 in scouting. I don't mean that as all of a slight to PD, but it's like, hey, you got to start. The better product you start with, the better you can enhance it. But I think our scouts, you hit on the international group, they're just crushing it down there. Like every year there's, you know, they raise the bar. It's like, man, you just had this guy, now you got three more like him that are impactful guys. And then the domestic scouts and our pro scouts, they work really well together and just – They know what they want to find, but they're open to different. So they'll sign, you know, guys that other teams like, but they'll also not shy away from maybe a undersized player or different arm slot, different. There's, you know, we see the value in not zeroing in too much on one boilerplate and restricting yourself. So I think the scouts have done a tremendous job. And then at the same time, I think the PD staff has been relentless in terms of just, hey, we've helped a player, we've developed this player, they're on to the next guy, and continuing to keep an eye from afar on the guys in the big leagues, but they're focused on the task at hand and kind of can't rest on their laurels, sure, so to speak, and keep after it pretty well.
When you're scouting a guy, whether it be an international player or a domestic player, are there certain core principles the organization looks for in players?
Yeah, I think it really varies based on the type of player. I mean, international players, you're giving them a lot more projection. Mm-hmm. Hey, what's the body type going to be? What's his aptitude to learn? How athletic is he? And then, you know, you're trying to forecast what the body's going to look like from 15 years old to 25 years sure. old. And is he going to flow away from the middle of the field and be stuck in a corner and all that? And then you got the, you know, the four-year college player that you're taking in the first round that could be a year and a half, 2 years in the minor leagues, and he's the same guy. So it really varies, but I think the old-time scouts, I think, always used to have the saying, like, they look for players that do it easy. Like, they have success. It just looks easy to them. That way, when the competition level gets ratcheted up to the big leagues, it's like, hey, now they got to dial it in, mm-hmm. and they have another gear. They have another adjustment that they can make, whereas that max effort hitter that's crushing the sawdust out of the bat, so to speak, at rookie ball, it's like, hey, once that velo dials up even harder and, you know, the spin gets that much tougher, does he have another gear? So not saying the guys can't do it. We love grinders, but it's just, you know, there's different things that scouts look for, but it's just one of many.
Let me ask you about a couple of guys in particular. One domestic guy, one international guy that have come up through the system, still in the system. Jesus Mate, who was in Carolina last year, who's obviously having a great year, the number one prospect in all of baseball. And Cooper Pratt, who was also in the Carolina League, just signed that long-term deal with the Brewers.
Sure. Absolutely, yeah. Two very, like, talented players in their own right. just, but you think of the background, you know, one of them coming from, you know, such a young age, and not that Cooper was old. I mean, coming out of the draft, a couple of years older than Jesus when he signed, but just tremendous impact players that, you know, play in the middle of the diamond, can impact the ball, you know, defensively, and then obviously at the dish. You know, Mate's, you know, maybe does a few more things today offensively than Pratt, but it's probably pretty close, and Pratt hasn't maybe had the numbers Mate's yet, and he's a little bit older for the level, of course, but not compared to most players, just compared to each other, because Mate's, I think he'd be the youngest guy in A-ball right now.
For sure,
the youngest
guy
in AA by quite a bit. So, but no, it's just been fun to watch him grow. Cooper showed up with more, you know, probably more game innings. Mm-hmm. You know, the international players have a lot more showcase innings under their belt, whereas Cooper played a lot of really good quality travel teams. His dad had coached him. He was just a, you know, he knew. You didn't have to really teach him the game. Like, he was a baseball rat, and he had the internal clock getting ground balls. He just had that knack for knowing how not to rush a ball and still make the play. Mate, maybe a little more raw, but, you know, quickly made some adjustments, and definitely not raw at the plate. Like, he knows how to put the bat on the ball and use the whole field for a kid that's 18 years old. It's crazy how much he can do out there.
You know, we've got a couple guys on this Warbirds team right now that have some big league connections, obviously with Jaden Fielder, Prince's son, and then Brady Ebel, Dino, of course, the third base coach with the Dodgers. Does it help when these guys coming into the system already knowing what it's like to be in a clubhouse and around professional baseball every day?
Absolutely. I think that's just one monster variable that, you know, most kids, like, I remember, you know, my career as a bat boy, walking in the clubhouse, kind of being in awe. I can't imagine, like, you'd see these kids growing up. Like, I saw Jaden, I was the assistant scouting director when his dad was drafted in the first round, and kept seeing him on the backfields in spring training in diapers, swinging the wiffle ball bat and stuff, and now here he is, you know, 20-year-old kid or whatever he is. But I think that feeling where they're able to focus that much more, the game's tough. So it's just one more variable that, hey, they know the big league clubhouse, they know the environment and all that. It's just not another game, because it's such a difficult game, but I think it just takes the edge off, where guys have those connections and they're used to seeing, like, Brady's used to rolling into Dodger Stadium and hitting early BP and having Freddie Freeman heckle him or something, or who knows what. But, you know, it's just one less thing they have to worry about. They've been exposed to it, so, you know, it's fun to see those guys adapt to pro ball themselves.
Tom, a few thoughts before I let you go. We're obviously in this brand new ballpark here in Wilson. Been a long time coming to get to this point, where the first series at home in Warbirds history. What makes this ballpark and this community such a perfect fit for the Brewers organization?
I tell you what, it's been overwhelming. I've been involved pretty heavily, you know, from the outside in terms of being up to date, so I didn't think I'd be that surprised, but the last probably 60 days of construction that I didn't see it being at spring training, and then showing up here for the opening night, it was like, wow, you know, all the finishes, the signage, all the little touches that they had. But it's tremendous. I mean, it's A-ball baseball, but it's really a, you know, big league facility. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really quality. Like, the amenities for both home and visitors, the weight room, the cages, the playing surface, scoreboard. I mean, the view out here right now is, I can't imagine the next 3 to 5 years, the growth that area is going to see. So I think just for the Brewers, it's great for development. We prioritize development. So having the amenities for the players here, that, you know, guys can get here at noon and be comfortable, have enough space, have a good kitchen, they can get a couple meals while they're here, get their work in. You know, it's really a blessing for the organization. And I think for the city, it's just going to be an impact for the growth that you'll see. Wilson's kind of on the upswing already, but I think this is just a accelerator where you'll see a lot of good things to come.
Thomas, I'll let you go. What's maybe the overarching message to Brewers fans still very early in the season, both here at the minor league level, but in the big league level as well?
I think just enjoy the ride. I think we in the industry, as well as fans, you kind of get sucked into the day-to-day, and it's kind of the blessing and the curse of baseball, where you can get too high, too low early. So enjoy the ride, but don't get too hung up. Like, you know, you lose 5-6 in a row and it's doomsday, and then you win a couple one-run games and you're feeling on top of the world. So just enjoy the wins, but not get too low on the losses either. And I think there's definitely better. I think we have had a quick start, hit a little lull there, and I think there's tremendous, a lot of season left. But I think in the minor leagues as well, there's such a momentum coming with young players that it's like, hey, our big league team's young, but we got a lot of good problems in the future with good young players coming up.
It's great stuff. Tom, always appreciate the time. I look forward to seeing you again later this summer.
Sounds great, Chris. Appreciate it.
That's Tom Flanagan, Brewers Senior Vice President of Player Development. More coming up after this on the Warbirds Baseball Network.